This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 299. I've got rhythm, I've got music, I just want to know why I need it.
Best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are back because I am actually slightly feeling better. Finally.
Do you have your voice back?
I do have my voice back. Mostly. I mean,
Yay.
It's still, you know, I still got another octave to go, but it's back.
It's better than not having a voice at all.
It's really better than not having a voice at all. Because when you have to go all Stephen Hawking on stuff, people just look at you funny.
I know I did.
Like, unless you're in the chair, they're just like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah, I know. I was there.
Like, I don't have to be in a chair. I can't. If I try to make a noise, I sound like a mouse. And I don't want you to put me in a trap.
Because you'd be in a trap.
Because I would bees in a trap.
Bees in the trap.
And I don't want a bees in a trap.
Because I'm in the whole lane.
Oh, my God. Alrighty. So enough of
Nicki Minaj reference for anyone who didn't know.
Yeah, enough of that. Let's get back to what we do best, which is talking nerd.
I'm proficient in nerd and geek.
I am definitely trilingual. I speak nerd, geek, and hipster.
Me? Well, I'm just
you're learning
hipster.
Yeah.
I'm
but you're
hipster.
Doing a really good job.
I'm trying
to say I'm very proud of all the progress that you've made learning.
I
hipster.
Sent them daughters when they asked for stuff.
It's not the easiest language to pick up because you've got to take sarcasm and then you have to add egotist. And then you have to add a little bit of narcissism.
Actually, I feel like narcissism should be first in that list.
See, there you go. You guys weren't able to see that, but trust me, it was totally a hipster move. Glasses, they got adjusted. I'm very proud of your progress there.
Thank you.
On hipster. So, you know, because those are languages you really have to speak.
Especially nowadays, if you want to get a
job. Absolutely. If you want to be able to, you know, talk to people that you work with at your job. For people like us in the areas that we tend to work,
if we ever have an office building, we should have a day where you can only talk in lolcat, fail dog, or Reddit pictures.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the only way you can
it's called
communicate.
Friday. That's what the day is called in our office.
And if we have to be in office on Saturday,
office
it's Catterday.
It is Catterday, obviously. Okay. you're not saying anything that we
nope.
disagree with
nope.
The entire team when I say we, so obviously, but yeah.
Yes, because we have the power to speak for all of them.
We do, because who run the world? Girls. That's right. Getting back into it. See, it's just stream of consciousness, because I've been out of it for a week, and now
you just
want
to get it all out.
Like,
now.
Seriously, it's just all, it's you all got, built up in the back there. It's just like, get this out. Say this. Say this.
Backwash.
You forgot to say this. You didn't say this.
It's nerding.
Oh my God, what's
backwash.
Going on? Why didn't you say that? Ooh. So first of all, like, one thing that I want to put out there, because we didn't really talk about it anywhere, but, I was really sad that Ernest Borgnine died.
Yeah. That's,
gotta pour a little out for the homie. He's good people. Good dude. Love that dude. So, very, very, very sad to hear about his passing, as well as Andy Griffith.
Yeah, I know!
I'm like, damn, all the old white dudes are dying this week.
What's the government gonna do?
I mean, the government's straight, but seriously, I was very, very sad to hear about both Ernest.
Well, they can't live forever.
I know they can't live forever, but it's so sad when you see people that you grew up watching, you know, and listening to, and just appreciating their entire body of work. I love Andy Griffith. I love the show. Oh my gosh. I just love the guy, okay? And even when I got on the Andy Griffith Show, when you know, Grandpa was here and was watching Matlock, like, I came to appreciate him all over again, you know? And so it's very sad to, you know, see people that you've recognized and really have grown up with and
has been an iconic part of your development.
Exactly. When they, you know, pass away, you know, no one can live forever. I mean, you know how traumatized I was when Michael Jackson died.
And Steve Jobs.
And don't even talk to me about Steve Jobs. I was in mourning for like months.
I know.
I still kind of am. He's still on my home screen on my phone. But, you know, it's just, it was definitely sad. And to have Ernest on top of Andy Griffith.
Well, you know, they happened in three, so we're expecting one more.
Oh, there were a couple other people that passed away.
Remember, it's still rule of three, so if it's an odd number, we're still expecting one more.
Oh, I'm just talking about white dudes. White dude trifecta was done. I forget who the other guy was. He was a director. But then there were some other...
Ron stuff. Howard?
No, Ron Howard.
Oh,
fine.
Thank God.
He's alive.
Scary.
So, you know, so that was one thing. And I was going to write a piece, but I was like, man, that's really morbid. And
yes, because we've never talked about morbid things on the show.
No, no. I mean, we do. But typically, they're usually in relation to, like, a video game or anime. This is just people dying. Like, actual real people.
We've talked about death in video games and comic books, but we've never talked about real death. Really.
Right. So, but I was really sad. I had a major sad. And so I was sharing my major side.
I'm sorry that you had a major side.
Yeah, I was majorly bummed. I was majorly bummed. But I thought it was very cool that TV Land ran a marathon of the Andy Griffith Show in honor.
Well, of course.
But I thought it was very cool, you know, that how
But
quickly...
I don't know exactly how heartfelt I feel like something like that is. Because, I mean, the minute someone becomes mainstream or popular in the conscience and we have records of them from several periods of time... I feel like they have a department of people who just compile this stuff together.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
And they wait until somebody drops it.
Dude, death reels are made. I mean, they had a death reel made for Michael Jackson years before he passed away. Is it for every major celebrity. Like, you know there's already a death reel made for Lindsay Lohan. There's one made for Courtney Love.
So I'm just saying.
But I'm not saying that it's heartfelt from the point of TV Land. I just thought that it was very fitting that there was a TV marathon for Andy Griffith showing up all of his stuff, and then there was also
I'll agree for
Ernest Borgnine, so that those people who may not know their entire body of work or those people who had forgotten something that they were in or hadn't seen it had the opportunity to experience it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I think that it's a really nice thing to have that memorial to show off the body of work after an entertainer is gone. So that you can appreciate what it is that they did. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, yes, actor and director and philanthropist Andy Griffith passed away today. But it's another thing to say that he passed away and talk about all the different charities that he raised money for and all of the TV
shows. Well,
of course,
they're gonna shine the brightest, warmest possible light.
Which you should when anyone passes away.
Well, yes, you don't want to be like, oh, drug addict.
But then also to show off the body of work left behind, I think that that's a real, whether it's done for, you know, monetary reasons or not, I think that that's, you know, the best way to say thank you to an artist, which is share their art, their work with the world. Okay, whether you do it before they pass away or after they pass away, I think that it's just apropos to show off the body of work, you know.
I hope when I pass away that there's a giant reel of all the great things I've ever said on this show and all shows I've ever been
on. We're
going to
make the most amazing clip show.
Well, we have a lot of practice already.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I had a major sad with that. So, of course, I watched a couple of the marathons and some of the old series and movies that Ernest and Andy Griffith were in on Netflix while I was, you know, laid up sick because... just in case you weren't paying attention, the reason why we didn't do a podcast last week is because I got sick and, as it turns out, had pneumonia that I'm still getting over. So I was laid up for like an entire week where I was like, oh my God, I got nothing to do except lay down and take these medications that will make me want to sleep. What am I going to watch? So I started running through all my digital media stuff. And like I said, I watched some Andy Griffith stuff and I watched a couple movies that Borgnine was in, which was, you know, cool. And then I was like, okay, well, what else can I be doing? And it just so happened that the week that I was laid up just also happened to be the San Diego Comic-Con week.
Yeah.
So I started...
One day we are getting out there.
We will go to Comic-Con.
One day.
It's going to happen. We'll probably go to New York Comic-Con before we get out to San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, obviously, it's a lot easier to get to New York.
But we will do SDCC. It's
and I will
happen.
Do MAGFest.
It's going to happen. We're going to make this happen, people. Maybe not today.
Definitely not tomorrow.
But soon. So I started checking into all the news coming out of Comic-Con because I typically only look at San Diego Comic-Con when it's done and I run through all the news then because I get a little bitter and I get a little resentful that I didn't get to go to Comic-Con.
At least you're willing to admit that.
I admit it. I admit it.
Some people are very vindictive and they're
nope.
Quiet, angry people.
No. I'm honest about it. I'm very jealous of my friends in the industry who get to go. I would love to go to San Diego Comic-Con. But I try to stay away from all the news while Comic-Con is happening. So I stay off my you know, social feed. So I try to avoid Facebook and Twitter for the entire con week.
Say, oh no, I mysteriously lost connection for these last three days.
I stay off of BuzzFeed and all that stuff. I don't look at any of my news readers for the week. And then I come back at the end of Comic-Con and I'm like, okay, now just let it kind of wash all over me. And I separate it out. But since I was laid up this week, I thought, well, screw it. I'm going to break my tradition. And I'm just going to keep track of all the news coming out of Comic-Con this week. And, you know, see if there's anything that, you know, I'm really interested in and, like, mad jealous about and all that kind of stuff. And I got to tell you, first piece is, as far as comics go, there's less and less comic stuff going on at Comic-Con, at least the San Diego one, that I see. But what I will say is I do really wish that, one, I didn't have pneumonia that week, and two, that I didn't have pneumonia that week and I was actually at Comic-Con, because there are lots of great announcements that were made and a shit ton of panels that I wish I was on. Like, there was a Firefly reunion panel that I was like, son of a bitch. Like, everybody was there. The entire cast was there. Joss was there.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Seriously. And I was like, I would, you know, do really... You know that commercial, like, what would you do for a clown like bar? Like, there's a lot of things on the list that I would have done to be in part of that panel. Because, as you know, I love Firefly.
Yes.
I love Joss Whedon stuff. I mean, really, there hasn't been anything that Joss has done so far.
And you haven't even seen Cabin in the Woods. Because he wrote...
He wrote characters for Cabin in the Woods. It's not my thing.
But the characters would be relatable enough that you would definitely feel Joss's presence in the movie.
I'm sure.
Which is why I think a lot of people liked the movie. Granted, I think it also really changed the dynamic of the premise.
Mm.
Because it's a remake.
Yeah, I know it's a remake.
So they put a really clever twist
in there.
I saw
the original Cabin in the Woods, so I was like,
I'm so glad.
Look, I know how Last House on the Left goes. I saw the original. It was fucked up. And I saw the original Cabin in the Woods.
Didn't in the Last House on the Left, didn't the chick die, like, not too far from her house?
She didn't die.
Then I'm thinking of a different movie.
No, you're thinking of the right movie. She didn't die. She was close to death, and she was trying to get home. And she was found near death by her parents.
No. In the original, she got shot while she was out, and she's dead. She died, and the bad guys came into the house, and they realized, because one of them was wearing her necklace.
Right.
And then the parents realized that something had happened. And they fit, like, she wouldn't have given her necklace just to anyone.
Yeah,
and they realized that something horrible had happened.
That's why
Mom took one of the dudes out. It was like faking fellatio and then
bit
his dick off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. No, I was confusing the original and the remake. But Cabin in the Woods is not.
Not for you?
Not my thing. But I love Joss's stuff. So, I'm sure that it was written really well. The Firefly panel, I definitely would have loved to have been a part of. If for nothing else, just to see those guys gathered again together.
Right. Well, I mean, what big news are you going to share with us today?
All right, so a couple of things coming out of Comic-Con that I'm really interested in. And these are like the first ones. There was so much stuff. I mean, there were so many comics that were announced. They announced that they're going to do a My Little Pony comic.
Friendship is Magic?
Yeah. So that it's going to have a comic book series. That's going to be
Do you not
released.
See the ridiculous
yeah,
stupid
I saw,
grin
I saw
on my
it.
Face
I know
right
bronies
now.
Are going to be like, ooh, ooh.
Might have to start collecting comics again.
I'm just saying. So first you gotta have space to put them.
My Little Pony.
But I mean, there's so many different comics that were announced. There's so much footage. I mean, they showed off some of the Deadpool
movie,
which, you know, actually
doesn't look bad.
Doesn't look bad. It doesn't. Now,
but we have to be careful about visuals.
Look, we know. There have been plenty of things that you saw the visual at Comic-Con, and you're like, oh my god, that's going to be the bestest thing ever. And then it went out, and you're like, no. Okay? You know, you got to remember, the first footage that we saw of Wild Wild West looked like it was going to be pretty bomb. And then the movie came
giant
out.
Giant mechanical
and
spider.
It was a giant bomb. So I always take those.
That movie still stinks.
It does. It still smells like ass. But I always take the trailer release and the concept video releases with a grain of salt coming out of Comic-Con, because it's really just to get some hype going and to feel out the audience and see if they're digging the path that you're going down or not. But a couple of things that were really interesting was that they announced the titles for the follow-up to Thor and the Captain America movies.
Okay.
So they are getting them. So the Thor movie is going to be called Thor: The Dark World. The Captain America movie is going to be Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Okay.
So they're working on those. They had the entire cast come back together and announce the Iron Man 3 movie, which we knew they were going to be doing, but they got everybody back. So, you know, Favreau's still on board.
Of course.
You know, Downey is amazing. He's still there. Don Cheadle is back again, so we're not going to have another flip-flop for... Yes, from the second movie.
Yeah.
Whereas the first movie, it was Terrence Howard. But Don Cheadle is back. Gwyneth Paltrow is back. So no face changes from 2 to 3.
Right.
Which is cool.
I mean, I have questions about that. Because, I mean, I've never really... I didn't get immersed into Iron Man until I saw Iron Man 2 first, which is really weird.
Why did you see 2 first?
I saw 2 first with you. Then I went back and watched 1. Because I, at the time that all my friends were seeing it in theaters, I was like, oh, I'll just go with them when they go. And, like, they went one night that I didn't know and I was working, and I was just like,
right.
I'll just catch it on TV. And then I never caught it on TV.
Right.
So then we saw 2, and I was like, I have no idea why this is as awesome as I know it is.
Right.
And then I went back and watched 1 and then 2 again, so I got the fluidity.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, every time I talk to people about the whole Iron Man thing, they tell me that, you know, he's like a drunkard. Like he disintegrates as a man further on.
That's the line in the comics, is that, you know, the thing about Tony Stark is, you know, he's brilliant, but he's an alcoholic and he is disintegrating, and not just from, you know, the thing in his chest,
right.
But, you know, because of
his own personal choices.
Correct. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why he's such a great character, because he's not a true hero. He is in it partly for the accolades and the money, but he does have an entire section where, you know, you are watching him drink himself to death. It's one of the reasons why.
So, I mean,
I wonder
if we're going to actually start seeing that darker side of the canon.
I don't know, just because they haven't brought in a lot of the dark side of the canon.
Well,
to begin
they've
with.
Also kind of reworked some of the things that were going on
to
make,
you know,
it more Hollywood, you know,
correct,
approved.
Acceptable and approved. You know, so, I mean, you did see a couple of dark-ish moments in
right.
2. And 1.
And
in
he
1.
Got to see some more of his ego, you know, egocentric.
Yeah, like, you know, just right up.
In Avengers. So, I mean, you got to see that.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're going to get there or not. Obviously, you know, Avengers Assemble.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
I haven't even seen this Avengers movie, but I'm going to, and I'm already down for Avengers Assemble.
It's really sad that you still
Look,
haven't
I was,
seen the
I was
Avengers
supposed
movie.
To go with somebody, and then that didn't happen, and I was supposed to go with somebody else, and that didn't happen, and then we're going to have a makeup one, and that didn't happen. So, you know,
I'm sorry.
Is what it is. But, so now I'm just waiting for it to come out
on
like
Blu-ray,
HBO, or Blu-ray, Netflix.
It might be a while, but it will.
It's already been, like, what, 4 months, 5 months? No, 2 months, 3 months?
But anyway, that's really exciting, though, because I was really pumped at the end of Iron Man 2 to see where they were going to go from there.
Yeah, so Iron Man 3, going to happen. No face changes from there. Frankly, I loved Thor. I thought that it was a great introduction to that character. I thought that it was the right people in the right place in the movie.
Yes, exactly. And which, when you get that fusion, it's just golden.
It really is. But to have Sir Anthony as Odin and to have Chris Hemsworth as Thor cut the way he is, it's perfect visual. Like, if I was to see a human being as Thor, Chris really delivers.
Him or Techno Viking?
Well, yeah, Techno Viking would also work.
Well, I mean, I didn't see
but
Thor.
But Thor's not much of a dancer, so.
Well, you don't know. You don't know what he does back on, you know.
No. If Thor danced, it would totally, like
Valhalla, like Viking dancing is, like, intense.
I know Viking dancing is intense, but seriously, I don't want to dance
with
Thor.
I think he'd be shy.
I don't want to dance with Thor. But I was really hoping that it would get a sequel because, frankly, as far as box office went, it didn't do the smashing job that, like, your Avengers and even your X-Men
First Class did.
So I was concerned that it wouldn't get a second shot. But it has, so I was really excited to hear about that. Captain America was the same way. You know, it was.
I still haven't seen the Captain America movie.
We can fix that.
I know, because you helped me fix the whole fact that I hadn't seen Thor either. And, I mean, I had a big conversation about it on our Facebook page, about the fact that I didn't see Thor until after Avengers. And going from Avengers to Thor to Snow White and the Huntsman, like, if I had seen Snow White and the Huntsman first, I would not have been interested in Thor.
Right.
Or Avengers, because obviously totally different stories, but the guy who played Thor was also the Huntsman.
Yeah, Chris
and that.
Was it. Yeah.
And I felt like that character really kind of fell off the train.
The Huntsman?
Yeah. We
went with a really interesting group to see it, and literally they pulled me out of it
because as far as the Grimm fairy tale went, it was actually pretty on point.
I know, but there was something about, because the fact that I remember him being big, strong, confident,
Then when I saw him
being meek and Byronic and dark and detached, and
I couldn't dissociate.
And I was expecting him to be all like, I'll protect you. And I mean, granted, he would say that, but I didn't believe it. I was like, you don't sound like Thor anymore. You know, you're not supposed to be Thor anymore, but I look at you and all I see is, you know, your big, your arm mantles and your furly red cape and your really big mallet. Like, I couldn't dissociate the two.
Yeah. See, I didn't have a problem disassociating because, you know, I saw Thor when it came out. And then I saw Huntsman. And frankly, I thought that Huntsman was good.
I'm not saying it wasn't.
But I didn't have a problem disassociating and going, okay, you're not Thor now.
And granted, it didn't help that, you know, he also had one-faced Kristen Stewart as, you know, his leading lady who, you know, looks
as
scary.
Wait. She did have a change in her face.
She had two instances in the movie where her face did not look like Kristen Stewart's
face. Yeah, I know.
Face.
I was really excited about that.
But the whole time I was looking at her, I'm like, ooh, you're flirting with somebody else. Edward's not going to be happy with you.
Oh, he's going to swoop in any moment, though, and take her away.
Like, the minute she fell into that water, I was expecting to see him in the water like, what's up? I'm not even lying to you.
Oh, my God. So obviously, there are a couple of other panels that were really cool. For me, another one was Guillermo del Toro actually was...
As in Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes,
Guillermo.
and Hellboy 2,
right?
Was quoted by Entertainment Weekly and said, "I can publicly talk about this now, but we are looking to actually try and make Hellboy 3." And as you know, like after Hellboy 2 is pretty much okay. Nope, fuck that. All done. Nope, didn't do anything. We're not doing it. It's not happening. Screw it. And
you take Hellboy and you set him on the roof with a redhead with Mel talking about girls.
That was in the comic.
I know.
I mean, Guillermo was true to the comic. I mean, because he's a huge comic nerd. But he was true to it, and you know, to a T, which I really appreciated. Which is why I own both Hellboy and Hellboy 2. And I was really disappointed when I heard that they weren't going to be doing the third one because you're building up to in both movies. Why Hellboy was put on the earth, and the whole
his whole deal
is what you're building up to, and to stop before you deliver that movie, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you have got to be fucking me right now. And
like, at least whine me and dine me.
But
because...
Guillermo was like, you know, after seeing, you know, the Make-A-Wish story.
Yes, I saw that a couple of days ago.
Which,
that he...
you know, if you hadn't heard, there was a little boy who his Make-A-Wish wish was to be able to meet Hellboy and to be made up as Hellboy in the costume. And so the foundation reached out to
Ron Perlman,
and he said, absolutely. And so he went back full makeup and met the kid. He ordered a bunch of cheeseburgers and fries and stuff, had the kid and his family in, sat down. There's some great photos of him, back to back. You know, like badass, and, you know, just sat and had a conversation with the, in total, you know, Hellboy character, so smoking a stogie and everything. And you could just see in the pictures, this kid is just so happy. I mean, he's just glowing from the inside out. And then they did the makeup on him as well and made him into a little mini Hellboy, which was, like, adorable. So I'm like, oh, my God, now Hellboy has to have kids because I want to see this kid. It's like little Hellboy in the movie. But it's really adorable. But Guillermo was like, you know, after seeing that and seeing that there are so many young fans who
very young fans who you wouldn't think have even seen the movie.
Who are, you know, in really enamored with this character, you know, it would really... We've got to see if we can figure out a way to do this. So we're in talks with people. It hasn't been greenlit by anybody yet. They haven't talked to any studios yet, but Guillermo is on board for making it happen. And then Ron Perlman came back and said, look, Guillermo had this amazing vision through one and through two to bring about and explain, you know, Hellboy's entire reason for being on this earth. And it's a beautiful vision, and it would really be a shame to not, you know, see it all the way through and do this third movie. So Ron Perlman is in. All right, so if you got Perlman in and you got Guillermo on board, then somebody needs to man up and just throw some money on the table and make this movie happen.
Yep, and go get Selma Blair.
Get Selma Blair. Get the
She's not doing anything.
I mean, seriously, what is she doing?
She's wishing her hands would set on fire for real.
I'm sure that she's, you know, doing something with her kids, because does she have kids? I don't know. I thought she had kids.
When, you know, female stars go off the grid for a while, they have babies.
Yeah, she's got a baby.
Baby rehab.
But you know what? Bring the kids on set. I'm just saying.
That's what you have assistants for.
So I'm now stoked that there's a possibility that Hellboy 3 will actually happen.
I love when I hear stories of celebrities going out of their way and doing something that really shows that, one, they love their fans enough. Like, I mean, with Ron Perlman, I saw that. Bill Murray was at an airport. I don't know if, I'm sure most of our fan base has already heard about this, but it still makes me smile that he was coming off a plane, and a group of guys were also coming off this plane around our age range, and they're big Bill Murray fans, and, you know, and the guy just wanted an autograph, and Bill Murray did more than any of us would ever expect, you know, a celebrity to do, and he pretty much... had another one of this dude's friends take his video camera and video them slow walking, like in a big group, like think Ocean's 11, when they're all walking slow and all four of them start walking and Bill Murray's deadpan in the middle, and they let them, you know, rework it and edit it out so it looked really super cool. And I'm like, wow, he gave you a slow-mo walk. Like, and I don't think a lot of celebrities would do something like that. A lot of them are on a tight schedule. They're moving around. They're moving, shaking, and all that.
They're on their schedules. They're going places and things like that. But, you know, to hear, you know, about Bill Murray doing something like that, it just shows that, number one, you really do appreciate your fans, because you only get to be Bill Murray for the people who buy all your movies and go out to all your movies and... You know,
and quote you from Zombieland.
You know, and quote you from
Ghostbusters.
Zombieland and Lost in Translation. And, you know,
beautiful movie.
I mean, all of those movies, as well as the pet projects that, you know, barely saw the light of day.
Garfield.
No, not Garfield. Not Garfield. Never Garfield. Even he would tell you never Garfield.
Yeah.
Okay. But
if he has any regrets, it's apparently Garfield.
but you know, that kind of stuff just shows me that you get it, that you appreciate it, and that just makes me appreciate you even more, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all people, right? Whether you're famous or not famous, we're all just people.
Or mid-famous.
And you know, if you get someplace because of the efforts of other people and the money of other people and the time of other people, you got to give back somewhere.
You got to pay some homage to that.
You know, you got, whether it's charity work or whether it's doing something as simple as signing an autograph for somebody who really appreciates what you do. I mean, because fans coming up, and most celebrities understand this, people coming up and going, oh my God, I really love what you do. Would you sign my whatever little piece of paper it is? It's not because they want something to put on eBay, but it's because they really appreciate what it is that you do, and they want a little token of that.
Yeah.
Okay, we already have our major tokens. We bought the audio CDs, or we bought the audio tracks in iTunes, and we bought the Blu-ray collector's edition.
I don't even think it's even about that. I think it's just about having a marker for that tangible moment in time where you have come across.
I mean, I've only done it a couple of times, because typically for me, when I come up and I'm around somebody who's really famous and I really enjoy what it is that they do, my thing is that I just want to take a moment, as long as it doesn't interfere with what they're doing, and just say, I just want to let you know that I really enjoy your work. I'm a huge fan, and I think that what you've done has really been fantastic, and I thank you for sharing it with me, because it really touched me. And that's typically what I say
to
everybody.
That's all I want.
That's all I want. I don't ask for an autograph. I don't ask for anybody to sign anything. I just want to say thank you, because I really do appreciate their stuff, because it's either made me laugh at a point in time that I needed a laugh, or it's made me cry in a moment where I, you know, was needing an emotional outlet, or it's touched me in some way, and I just appreciate having it, and I appreciate the work that they put in, the things that they had to give up to do that, because as a working person, I understand that that happens. So it's really cool for me to see when celebrities not only see that and appreciate it, but then reciprocate that back. Like Ron Perlman doing this thing for the Make-A-Wish kid. Like Bill Murray doing that thing for those dudes walking.
You know,
like the people who, you know, will do a videotape message and send it to people, you know, for their birthdays, or will take somebody who's really interested in getting into their craft and invite them to come in and have lunch and talk about, you know, what it is that they do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that that's really cool, and it just makes me appreciate those people even more in what they do, because
absolutely,
it tells me that they get the whole thing and they're not up here on the pedestal. Because there are definitely people that you've met and they're like, okay, yeah, it's really gone to your head and you don't get it and you're just completely disconnected.
I had a friend who got flipped off by Tom Cruise while she was in London once.
It's Tom Cruise.
It's
He's
Tom
an
Cruise.
Asshole. All right, so moving right along. So, obviously, Avengers Assemble, because, yeah, they're doing another Avengers movie.
No, really? I never would have guessed.
Surprise! So, obviously, yeah, looking forward to that. There were a couple other panels as well that were going on that I thought were really interesting, so it'll be cool to see what comes out of them. But Marvel has also announced basically a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Yeah, which takes...
I just made an odd face for those who didn't know why she did that.
Yeah, so I'll definitely be talking about that as more details are released, but it's basically some of lesser known, as far as mainstream characters go. It'll be, if it's done well, it'll be pretty cool.
If
but, yeah,
that's so the, we'll, that's a big
that happens
if.
With every movie, obviously. There were definitely panels for Dark Knight Rises. There were some more trailers that were shown off. There's talks of video games for that. Sony had a panel where they had Matt Damon talking about Elysium. Which, if you haven't heard about Elysium, you're listening to the wrong podcast. But if you don't know, Elysium is Neil Blomkamp's follow-up movie. So Neil is the guy who did District 9.
Oh, boy.
Elysium is his next movie. Matt Damon is one of the main stars. Jodie Foster is also in the movie. Elysium basically is the story of how separated society has become separated. And so it's... all the rich people have evacuated to this great, like, I don't want to say floating city, because I'm not clear if it's a floating city or a spaceship or
a hovering town.
Yeah, something in the middle.
Something to make them higher up than
correct,
people
but
who
they've
aren't
basically
able to...
been evacuated to this, right now I'll go with floating city.
They lap you to that.
And everybody else has been left to kind of toil in the muck below them.
Kind
literally.
Of feels like a watered-down Gattaca.
Kind of. Except there's
it's not
actual,
by birth, it's just
yeah,
physical separation.
But there's a physical separation, okay? And so Matt Damon's character is part of the group fighting shit out in the area below. And, like, at one point, like, one of the major scenes that they shot was in a massive dump that was, like, just full of, like, shit and pig intestines and all that kind of stuff. So it didn't have the nicest, but, you know, as you know, Neil likes to go for the realism. So if you're supposed to be running through the shit, you're going to be running through the shit, right? So they're talking about, you know, how, you know, this one scene, it was shot in this major dump. And what was really cool was someone brought up a reference to, you know, Matt Damon and how he was portrayed in Team America World Police. Because they drew some comparisons. Yeah. And Matt, like, laughed. He's like, yeah, a lot of times people say that it was, you know, one of my best performances. And he goes, and, you know, I always say thank you. He goes, like, I can't tell you, like, how many times when I'm at things like this and, you know, I'm doing signatures and autograph signing and stuff, how many of the photos are of my puppet from, you know, Team America. And, you know, I get all this love for it, and it's a project that I wasn't even in. He goes, and it makes me sad. He's like, I would have loved to be in it. He goes, because those dudes, those guys are brilliant. And Jodie Foster, who was also, you know, lampooned in it, you know, chimed in. She's like, yeah. She goes, I love that stuff. It's great. So I'm like, now I'm thinking, okay, now we got to do Team America too, guys. And
I know.
And you got to bring Matt Damon in. Like, you, seriously.
Come on, have you not seen him in the SNL skits?
I mean, he has no problem. No problem whatsoever. I'm like, let's get Mark Wahlberg, Matt Damon, Natalie Portman in on a South Park movie or a, you know, movie by Matt and Trey. And I will go see that opening weekend is what I'm saying. But it was really cool to see some of the shots from Elysium. I love the visual style that Neil delivered in District 9, and I thought that he told a really fantastic story, you know, even with everything that's going on. And typically District 9 also wouldn't be my type of movie.
Shaky camera.
As you know, like, that's not...
Gorilla shots.
Not typically where I go, but
yes,
the story was so well done. You know, it's one of the things that I ended
up... That spoke higher than...
It did. It kind of transcended just the aesthetic stuff,
right?
Which I really enjoyed. It's really, I think, a fantastic job, which is why I own it. So to see, you know, a little bit about Neil's next flick at Comic-Con was really cool to me. So those are kind of the big top things that stuck out for me. Now, obviously, there's all kinds of other stuff going on in Comic-Con. There were a bunch of games that were announced at Comic-Con, and we'll be talking about those over the next week or so. But those are kind of my big ones. You know, from my being sick and feverish and pneumonia-ish this week, things out of Comic-Con that really kind of stuck with me, and I made notes on, so that's why I'm talking about them now. That's my bit.
All right.
That's all I got.
Is it my turn?
Pretty much. But I just want to say, my voice, like, stuck out, so
yeah.
I'm so proud of that.
Cult
Gold Star Friend Ninja!
Yay.
What do you got for the people this week, Panda?
I'm actually just going to talk about a game that I wrote a review on a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't really gotten to talk about it vocally, and I was hoping to do that last week, but then
what?
We didn't have the show. So, I'm talking about Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy.
Uh-huh!
Shouldn't be too surprised, because it's literally the only thing I've been talking about on Facebook for, like, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I got it for my birthday.
I actually complain about, you know, S-ranking or not S-ranking.
Oh, my God. I'll get into that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got it for my birthday, for my 20th birthday.
Describe what it is for the people.
It is a rhythm-based game.
Yes.
It came out as kind of like a little present for the 25th anniversary of, you know, Square Enix and Final Fantasy games as a whole. And pretty much in the game,
Do you remember back in the day when they were Squaresoft? Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Please continue.
I remember.
I just had a throwback moment. But cool.
Now with more sugar.
Now with more real
throwback.
Sugar.
Throwback! As opposed to fake sugar.
As opposed to the fake.
But anyway, in the course of the game, the premise is that there are two gods. And if you know anything about Square Enix games or Final Fantasy games, deities always play some part
deities
somewhere.
Deities all be always
or a powerful
in your
being
isht.
That resembles a deity.
There's
not
always deities in your isht.
Usually.
In a Square Enix game.
So... this one is really taking a page right out of the basic. We are dealing with the god Cosmos, which is a female, and Chaos, which is like a horned pan-looking like devil character.
Okay.
The space in between these two gods is called Rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
This is where all the music of the world kind of sits, and it forms this crystal.
Uh-huh.
And Chaos, being Chaos, is like, I'm gonna fuck that up. And he fucks it up.
I thought Chaos was a girl.
No, Cosmos is the girl.
Cosmos is the girl. Chaos Cosmos is the pan dude. Got it.
With the horns.
Got it. Yep.
Think Cosmos. Horns.
Yep.
He busts with
fucking shit up.
He right, busts with the crystal, and yeah. all the music of the world is now, you know, shattered into little fragments of rhythmia and are no longer, you know, in the gem doing what they're supposed to do. And your objective is you get to choose four characters from either they're the protagonist or the most sought out or favorite, you know, a fan favorite character from the series.
Okay.
You get to choose four of them, and it's their job to restore Rhythmia to the crystal and get the crystal running back to normal.
Okay.
And literally you get to go through the first 13 games of Final Fantasy. And this is obviously the first three remakes, because the first three that we got were remakes of
right.
the first yeah. one.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way up until 13. This does not include any of the Dissidias. This doesn't include okay. the Tactics.
Okay.
And it doesn't include any of the sequels that came from any of the existing 13. So we don't see anything from Final Fantasy 13-2
or
13-2.
Yay!
But we will get some of those through downloadable content in the future.
Now, what's important to make note of is that this game is for the 3DS.
Yes, for the 3DS, Nintendo. I don't see it going very far beyond that. It'd be kind of interesting to see if they could bring something like that to the Wii U, but I'm not too sure about that, and there's been a lot of circulating news about the Wii U lately, and I really don't want to get into that right now. But anyway, the game comes with 70 songs already on the in the
Here's
game.
The thing. You could absolutely do it on the Wii as it is right now, because as far as the mechanics work,
you would just have to slap, yes.
Correct.
They could, but I don't think they're going to. I think they want to keep it like a palate cleanser. They want to keep it as a portable title.
I understand.
And that makes sense.
Square would do it. If they were going to do it, they would have released it both on the Wii and the 3DS at the same time to capitalize on that.
But anyway, so you're off in your party of four. You're off to restore music to the world. And, I mean, I like music. A lot of people do, especially video game music. Like, there's a big community of people who just love video game music.
Yep.
Where the game kind of downfalls for me is that they really don't show me what a world without music is. Like, oh, we have to restore music. Why? Like, you don't see people who are sad and like, you don't see it, and the backgrounds are all really lively and animated, so I don't feel like there's much of a loss with no music. Like, they don't give it a stigma or a power. Like, oh, music makes, you know, the world spin, or they don't give it a significant point for these four heroes to be like, oh my god, we have to restore music.
Right, because they don't show you the consequence of
not why not having music is bad.
In the crystal, yeah.
They don't show it. Mm. Also, another downfall is that, you know, oh yeah, so we have these two gods, but you never interact with Cosmos. It's not like Cosmos grabs, you know, there's no story cinematic where, you know, whichever four you choose, they get summoned to Cosmos and she explains, you know, shit's gone crazy and I need your help. Like, you don't get any of that. You just start.
So there's no explanation for why
Chaos decided to fuck with this crystal. There's no, you know,
Cosmos actually recruiting
no pleading from
guys.
The good side to help her in this quest. And you only encounter Cosmos after you've gathered so much Rhythmia. And it's like, I want to say it's like 10,000.
Okay.
And once you get 10,000, that instantly triggers the ending series, because there's several different modes in the game, series battle with Chaos. And if you beat it, now mind you, it's a song that you don't get to practice while you're already, you know, mm-hmm. gathering Rhythmia. So, you know, you kind of have to get it or not get it.
Right.
And if you beat him, then you get the ending cinematic. And at the very end of the cinematic, do the four heroes finally bump into Cosmos. And I was just like,
what?
Exactly. And I mean, and we know that I'm really big into story. And
yeah.
And they don't give you any type of mid-bosses. They don't give you any sub-bosses, which I felt they could have done that to, you know, keep someone engaged. Because, I mean, I love the music, and I definitely got pulled into it because it did pull on all my nostalgia strings for all the Final Fantasy games I'd ever played. But it didn't keep me engaged in what Theater Rhythm was trying to do for me. Like, it could have just been a rock band-type game with Final Fantasy songs, And it had the same kind of appeal. But they tried to give me a story, but then didn't flesh out the story, which really kind of detracted from that.
Right.
But the nostalgia was strong enough to obviously keep me invested in. And I'm the kind of player who, like with rhythm-based games, always wants to improve herself and learn the the rhythm and get that critical and get that S rank and just know that I can do it in my sleep. So I'm that kind of person. So that will appeal to people like me.
Right.
And this game will really appeal to people who want a palate cleanser game they can jump into, play three quick songs, get that remembrance, that essence of nostalgia that we all seem to yearn for every once in a while, mm-hmm. and get that done in your day and use it on your go. Use it for your travel. Absolutely. There is a multiplayer aspect where you can play this game with four other people. Granted, I don't have four people in the local area for me to even play that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to try that out because I'd like to be able to go, okay, I know, I assume, because I have not played it, that most likely each person gets a certain segment of whatever level you're on, mm-hmm. and that's their responsibility to complete.
Right.
And feel more like a team, and obviously different players would have different attributes on them, so that makes sense to me.
Right.
But I haven't been able to experience it to know if that's what they're doing with it, or
right.
if it's just going to be a basic jump in, jump out, whatever.
Right.
So I don't know.
Right.
I do like, however, that they did break up the modes, and they made the modes very interesting, and I know a lot of people were concerned about it just being another Elite Beat Agents, which isn't bad, mind
no,
you.
Elite
Beat
Agents
is great, but a lot of people were expecting, you know, that you have all this stuff on one screen while this all this action's taking place in back, and it's the same kind of scenario each song, and that's not the case. So when you are in series mode, and that's where you can go into one of the 13 Final Fantasies and do three different modes in that category,
mm-hmm.
that node. You have a field mode, which is your leader, because whoever is in the first in your line is your leader. They tend to get more experience than the rest of your party, but that kind of makes sense to me.
Right.
And the leader is walking, starts the walk in the field mode, and you're literally just walking across the screen while you have whatever nodes you need to be doing, like holding a note or dashing a note or flicking in a certain direction to hit a high note or something like that. And that's all you do. And at the very end of it, if you happen to complete it with a perfect chain, which is you don't miss anything and you get a lot of criticals, you'll meet a character from that game, which I'm assuming will become unlockable later through another asset of achievements that you get or
okay.
shards that you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Usually after that, you'll get a battle mode where all four of your characters are represented and you're fighting a string of bosses, like mid-bosses, up until you get to the ending boss. And if you happen to defeat that boss while playing that song, they will drop an item or a trinket that you could attach to any of your characters. So they
okay.
still have all those attributes that you know from a Final Fantasy game, like wanting to have a bracelet on or a mimet on or have a high potion equipped. You can do all that. It doesn't really play that much in the series mode, and you actually get more points for not having anything attached to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people will strive to not carry anything because you do get benefits for that. And after that, you'll get the event mode. And I know a lot of people did not like the sprite animation. They wanted to see the characters that they have come to know and love. And in the event mode of this node, you actually get to see a lot of those high moments in those games.
Okay.
Like the really great FMV cutscenes, all the things that you loved to watch about the Final Fantasy.
The highlight reel, basically.
Exactly. And through all these modes, you will get a feature area, which is silver nodes that you have to hit in syncopation and all that stuff. And that will unlock an extended scene. So this will always drive you to want to get to that extended scene to see what else they had lined up for you.
Okay.
Now that's just in the series. You do get a challenge mode, which is where you can learn and perfect the routine.
Okay.
To go back into series and get that S ranking if you want. The great thing about challenges, if you get an A ranking or higher, you get the next level of difficulty for that.
Okay.
And once you've gotten an A ranking in that, that becomes playable in series.
Okay.
And the more you do that, the higher. So by
yep.
the end of it, if you've gotten the ultimate scores for all of them, you'll be doing a lot of flicking and dashing and tapping, which is essentially what they want you to be doing. The very last mode is called Chaos Shrine, which has 99 levels in it. So, like, this is your leaderboard. This is your... Your ladder.
Climb the ladder.
Your
mm-hmm.
ladder. And this is where you get dark notes. And they are like a little trinket that open up a song that is not playable in series. So you don't get the chance to practice it. You don't get the... So the only place you can play it is in the Chaos Shrine. You only have to go through two phases in the Chaos Shrine. You go through a field mode and you go through a battle mode. So you don't get an event
okay.
mode in Chaos Shrine. And if you perform well in the field mode... You actually get to skip the entire second boss in the battle mode, and you go straight to the ending boss, who always has the best drops.
Really?
Yes. So it really strives you to, you know, be listening to the song, and you just have to learn it right then and there. There's no practice.
You just have to stay on rhythm.
Yes, exactly. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I just hit level 10 in the Chaos Shrine. I just found the 10th Dark Note, and you can trade cards with other people to unlock other ones.
Okay.
But if you don't have that option, then you just have to battle your way up.
You just
up.
Have to keep working up the ladder.
But I absolutely love it. I am not very good at battle modes, I've noticed. I'm really good at field modes, and I'm really good at event modes. I'm not really good with battle modes, and I'm not particularly good with Final Fantasy VI. Like, I just, for whatever reason, the decisive battle, that song just likes to bend me over and take it up Brown Town.
Wow.
And no matter how many times I've practiced it, in practice mode I tend to get it, but the minute I actually am doing it for a score, I fuck up. And I'm
Do
like,
I think it's because you actually know that you're now doing it the
I know that
score?
It counts now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that happens for me whenever I try to go on a score run in Rock Band, and so I just had to stop telling myself that, okay, now that I practice it, now I'm going for the score run, because I try to get better on my guitar.
Right.
Because I'm pretty decent on drums, but on guitar, you know, I pretty much, like, maxed out it hard. And even at that, for some things, I just can't do it.
Still can't do it.
And so I'll go in and I'll practice, and then I'll be like, okay, now I'm really going to do it for a score run, because if I can, you know, better my last hard score when I go to expert, I feel pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
Every single time
probably,
I make
and
that
And that's
run.
Probably what it is for me.
And so what I've done is I'll go in and I'll do my practice, and I will make sure that I don't have the thought in my head, okay, now let's do it for real. But like, all right, practice is done. I'll go and I'll do something else. And I'll come back and I'll just
and
go into the regular
then
game.
Then maybe I should try doing that.
And I find that for me, that kind of breaks the mental, okay. Because if I go practice, now do it for real, I've put an extra layer of pressure on myself that I always
And then
feel.
When you fuck up, you're like, I should
exactly.
just practice
I just
more.
Practiced this.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Whereas if I go and I do my practice, I go off and I do something else, I come back, I haven't put that layer of stress on me, even when I jump into it. And I find that because I've had that break between the practice run and doing it, I find that I don't have that fuck, I just practiced this and I fucked it up still like moment, because that's where I feel defeated.
Yeah, exactly.
And
then
like
fuck this, and then I just shut the DS
exactly.
off and I go and play Lollipop Chainsaw for like 15 minutes.
See,
then
I go and I play Saints Row,
so that might be it. But it's
which you need to play Saints Row with me, because I have the DLC that you haven't played. So you could run through it. The clones one.
Oh, okay.
And
then,
gangsters
yeah.
in space. And
yeah, because I got the enter. I got the...
the same.
I got one of them. I don't remember which one it is.
I got the clones one. I got the gangsters in space one. And then I got the Genki Bowl.
I got Genki Bowl, which I still haven't finished. But regardless. I thoroughly enjoy the game. Like, I like the practice and the achievement, because you definitely get the gratification of completing it, clearing it, and getting, you know, a higher critical
mm-hmm.
or getting that S rank or getting that A rank, and I like that. And I think it's a really good way to keep Final Fantasy in the thoughts of their fans while they're, you know, working with the Lumos engine and working with that live tech demo of Agni's Philosophy that
mm-hmm.
I know I talked about, like, I think
yep.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which looks like I may have been right on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do a dance yet because it's still...
Yeah, don't
been.
Do the dance yet, but...
big game
all
dance.
Signs point
to
yes.
Yeah. They're pointing, but it hasn't been, like, shoved in the ground.
It hasn't been...
It hasn't been claimed for Spain yet.
It has not.
But,
flag.
But regardless, if you have a 3DS or, you know, are planning to get a 3DS XL... Because actually, I think this game would be a lot better on the 3DS XL, because it'd be a bigger
Dude,
screen.
I can't get a 3DS XL.
I know. I'm not going to do it either. But I'm just saying, if you're planning to upgrade and you want to stay in
Nintendo's
house,
worse than fucking Apple. On
I know. I know. Because then they're going to go big, and they're like, you know, we're going to go back to being small.
Right. They're like, we got the XL going. Oh, now we're going to introduce a purple one.
We're
going
to do the X small now.
We're going to do
regardless,
the XS for the extra
if
small.
If you're a fan of Final Fantasy, if you're a fan of its music, and you have a 3DS. Before, I was a little skeptical about the price being at $40, but there was a lot that they're offering in the game. I like I said in my review, I hadn't experienced all of it yet, so at the time I didn't feel that $40 was an accurate price for what they gave you on disc.
Right.
But they give you a lot on disc to start off with, and there's a lot of stuff available.
Oh, just with the multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, once I get into it, I'm sure I'll feel that my money, you know, your money was, you know, valued.
Birthday present.
Yep, got it for free. but for people out there who are thinking about buying it, I think right off the bat that now, seeing everything that I've seen about it, that $40 is definitely justifiable. And all the downloadable content, because like I said, you're going to get more from the catalog through that. And the great thing is they're only all going to cost $1. So it's never like they're going to release a pack for like $15. Each song with each different phase that's attached to is 99 cents. And Nintendo's always been fairly accurate about stuff like that. So you won't feel like your wallet's being raped all the time.
Right, because that's just not good to be extorted for money.
Yeah, especially if you're a child.
Which, you know, a lot of times microtransactions can feel like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, which is why I think I was worried at first when they were like, oh, we're going to release a lot of stuff on. I'm like, oh, so you want to nickel and dime me now.
Yeah.
But I don't
think a lot of people have
but
that
I don't
reaction.
Feel that they're doing that. And at the same time, I mean, they are trying to build revenue. Because, you know, Square Enix has stumbled a little bit. And I mean, they have this massive...
It is a business at the end of the day.
And they have a massive catalog of songs that people are sitting there waiting for it to become available in the
Dude,
eShop.
I don't feel like I'm being extorted for money when companies come out with DLC packs. As long as they add value to it. If it adds value for me and the price point is right, I'm going to buy it and I'm not going to feel bad
Period
about
end.
It. You know, it's like the Harley Quinn piece that was added on in... the
Arkham City,
you know, I will eventually get it. I will play it. I love the character of Harley Quinn. It makes sense to me that Harley was not included on the disc with her own thing from the get-go. Okay, it made sense to me that Catwoman was an addition, and it was a short-run addition because it wasn't a Catwoman game, it was a Batman game. You know, so it made sense to me to, you know, release that as DLC down the road. But it is large enough of a DLC that it made sense that it should be a paid-for pack, not a free pack. I have no problems with microtransactions as long as they add value. I mean, look at Rock Band, for Christ's sake. I have Rock Band 3. I still look every single week to see what the new tracks are that are going to be added.
And see
because they add tracks every new week. Both to the Rock Band Network, which are a lot of your indie stuff, and their main Rock Band store every week. And there are times where I look at that the track
and say,
and I go, not my thing, not
but
my
But then two minutes later, you're like, panda.
But I'm like, holy shit.
Look at this.
This is about to go down. Like, we are going to do this shit.
Go get my keyboard.
You know, and so, but it's true.
Guitar.
All right, now Rock Band 3 came out, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
And they're still releasing DLC and keeping it relevant. While at the same time, they've released Dance Central 1, Dance Central 2, and 3 is around the corner. And they're still releasing new content for Dance Central 2. So, you know.
And don't forget, Blitz is also on the horizon.
Blitz is on the horizon where I'm going to be able to take all that stuff that I did in 3, all those tracks, and be able to play all of them.
In an Amplitude type way.
Okay? I mean, it's just.
It's great.
If your roadmap is good, and I can use my content in multiple places, you've now just added an entire new level of,
value. If your roadmap doesn't make me lost, I'm going to take it.
Absolutely. I mean, look at, you know, Saints Row and Call of Duty and, you know, freaking Gears, okay? Map packs.
Oh, man.
Do you ever feel wallet raped over a map pack?
Hell no.
Why?
Because, God, I chose.
You chose it.
Right. No, I don't feel stumped because it does. It absolutely adds value.
You know,
and obviously by the time that I've committed to buying it, I've played all the already existing maps to the point that I've, like, you know, raked them all.
Yeah.
So I have to rake something new.
My only thing, really, when it comes down to gaming is ultimately the exclusivity stuff. If you're going to give me something exclusive for getting a collector's edition, I really and truly want that to be exclusive, meaning I don't want it to be available 3 weeks from now for purchase by everybody else on the planet. Like
I want to be the only one to have it. I want to be the only person.
It's not that I want to be the only person. It's just that if you're telling me it's exclusive, if it's going to be exclusive for a limited time, then say it's going to be exclusive for a limited time.
Yeah, don't be like, it's exclusive, and then next year Mass Effect 3 becomes available for the PS3. when it's been an exclusive title for years.
Well, I'm not talking about whole title. I'm talking about content, DLC. Because I can understand having an exclusivity deal for a year to bring a title to one platform and then being able to open it up to another platform. Because, again, you're a business. You want to make money. The Cha-ching. More people you can sell your product to, the better.
Bouncy dollars.
Okay. And the more dollars that you make, the better your next product is going to be for me. I'm not saying nay against that. What I'm saying is if you're going to create a collector's edition and you're going to say this is content exclusively available for the collector's edition, then it should be exclusively available just to the collector's edition, period. It shouldn't be content that becomes available 2 months later for everybody for purchase.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that.
So if you're going to make a weapon that's exclusive for collector's editions, don't make it available 6 months later for purchase as part of another DLC pack that you're going to give away other things in the DLC pack too. Really and truly make stuff that makes me have to get the collector's edition if I want it, because there's no other way I'm going to get it otherwise. That, to me, is real exclusivity. Otherwise, if you say that it's exclusive and then 6 months later it's available, it's not exclusive. It's a limited time offer.
Yep. LTOs.
Call it what it is. That's really my
little bone with that. Stop wagging the dog.
Seriously, just call it what it is, okay?
If because it's a spade, it's a spade, okay? I don't care. It's a spade.
Just don't say that this is an exclusive map pack and then 2 months later I can buy that same map pack or whatever Microsoft points or PSN points, and all that's happened is that now I've given the collector's editions people 2 months to know that map inside and out and pwn my ass when I get on it. So now I've spent money on something that's not worth it to me, because every time I jump in there, I get pwned. Because
yep,
those douches have had it for 2 weeks, 2 months, or whatever. So you know, that's my only thing. My question to you on Theater Rhythm, because, you know, in reading your piece that was on our EGM page and in listening to you talk about it now, my gut's like, okay, so how then is Theater Rhythm different or better than Rhythm Heaven or Mad Maestro?
All right. I'm so glad that
because I've watched you play. And first playthrough that I saw outside of, you know, event and battle, it looked like Mad Maestro.
I think that was the event stage. You saw me playing the event stage.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the event stage reminds me of Mad Maestro because stuff's going on in the background. Yep. And it doesn't continue unless you're doing the chain right.
Right.
Yes, and that does resemble Mad Maestro.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other game?
Rhythm Heaven.
Rhythm Heaven. And the thing about Rhythm Heaven for me is I feel like Rhythm Heaven feels slightly disjointed. Because, I mean, yeah, you're progressing on a chain, but
progressing up a ladder.
Yeah. And that ladder, I mean, outside of, you know, possibly running to another game that's similar to one that you've already played further down,
mm-hmm.
like, it feels slightly disjointed. Like, there isn't anything cohesive between the songs because they're all different types of song types, different syncopations, different rhythms. And, I mean, you feel... You are being led in a way in Theater Rhythm that you're not in Rhythm Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Rhythm Heaven is just, it's a burst of fun. Like, yay, it's fun and oh, it's cute. And Theater Rhythm's more like, it's cute, but it also should ring in your heart a little bit. Because they really are playing to, they assume that you've played mm-hmm. these games.
Mm-hmm.
And that you still have them all, and every once in a while when you really want to hear a song, you actually play to that stage in the game so that you can hear it. So
it's really and truly, truly a game specifically
for fans. It is targeted and aimed to fans, but it's also, you know, because of its easy to play mentality, its game mechanic is very easy to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
It could entice a casual gamer to go, oh, let me try that for a second. It looks cute. It looks harmless.
Right.
So it can pander to that, but it really is geared towards,
mm-hmm.
you really miss this music. We want to find a way to get you to listen to it again without you having to go back to your giant library, because we're not benefiting from that really now these days.
Or selling you the OSTs.
Exactly. But I don't feel swindled. I absolutely don't.
That's
because
good.
it does gear to me mm-hmm. and my love for Final Fantasy music and Square Enix. We know I'm a fangirl. I really am. I would like to see Square Enix even take the concept of Theater Rhythm to their entire catalog, not just Final Fantasy, because they have some other really great games, like the Chrono Cross. Yeah. They Lost Odyssey has a beautiful arrangement and
soundtrack. Yeah.
Beautiful. It's really well that they could do this.
But
stuff
I mean, Square
too.
Enix has always done that. I mean, the entirety of the Square Enix collection, everything is always scored well.
Highly orchestral.
In
beautiful
a
and moving
style.
And haunting
even,
and all those things.
I mean, freaking Nier.
Yes.
Okay, which, let's face it, you really had to like the title to play through Nier. But orchestrally, it was really fantastic. I've never been disappointed with any aesthetic or environmental thing that Square Enix has come up with. It's just, I'm not into turn-based play.
Right, and
but
I know
their
that.
Music is always fantastic. Their character designs are always amazing. I mean, they always make interesting-looking characters in every
absolutely.
Single game. You know,
they put a lot of thought and passion and soul in their
absolutely.
Games. And you can hear it and you can see it. And
so, you know, I would agree that having the entirety of their catalog available
they
is
could, well, not even
theater,
just, whatever... Theater Rhythm could just be like the brand name, and
exactly.
then Theater Rhythm, Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger. You know, Lost Odyssey is a big enough orchestral thing that they could totally play.
Absolutely.
You know, make that available
mm-hmm.
at like a Blitz sort of.
Yeah,
they could do
absolutely.
That. They're sitting on a big enough catalog that they
absolutely.
Could, and it would be lucrative.
Absolutely, because there are people who absolutely love
who
the
sit
franchise.
There and wish.
I would more than likely pick up the Theater Rhythm Chrono Trigger. I would. I love Chrono Trigger.
So I mean, I think we're going to see more of this coming from them, especially because this got implemented so well. And at first it seemed like it was going to get mixed reviews, and people are like, wow, it really was surprisingly good and refreshing. A lot of people said it was refreshing. And I mean, we're a bunch of jaded fuckers. Like, gamers are pretty jaded these days.
But rightfully so. I mean, we've all had the experience where for the title in our franchise that we love that doesn't deliver.
Yes.
Okay? We've all had that experience.
Resident Evil Dead Aim.
At least once.
Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
Okay, we
Outbreak.
It's happened. Okay.
Five, to an extent.
We all, you know, Devil May Cry 2.
Only the second disc.
Only the second disc.
Only second disc.
Just the second disc. Okay. No. You know, but we've had it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur 3. There, I said it.
Yeah.
It had to be said. Okay.
Yeah.
We've all had an experience with a franchise that we love, with a title that didn't deliver, that then jaded us. We still stay true and loyal to our franchisees because, frankly, gamers are loyal fucks. Okay, even when you screw me out of my $60 because you know I love this character and then you did something completely stupid with them, I'm still probably going to give you that $60 when that next title comes out. But damn it, don't you fuck me again.
Or at least take me out for a nice seafood dinner before you do it.
You know, buy me a steak before you do it, huh?
Kiss me before you fuck me.
Exactly. Look me in the eye before you fuck me. Don't just, you know, slide in and be like,
don't fuck me
is.
At the Best Buy.
Exactly. Don't fuck me at the Best
Buy. Or the GameStop.
Or the GameStop.
Or wherever you get your
you
titles.
You know, so I think that, you know, and rightfully so, we have been jaded at times because we have been let down by a franchise.
Once or twice.
You know, I mean, it has happened.
Yeah. And it's going to continue to happen. It's
and
a perpetual
it will.
State
it will,
of
because
of
you can't please everybody all the time. Okay, but I think, you know, rhythm games have definitely made their mark.
Yep.
They're not a fad. They're here to stay. I mean, you know, you look at Just Dance and what it's been able
That's
to right, do.
That's right, guys.
You look
Dance
at...
Dance privately in the security of your own home.
You look at how successful Dance Central is and continues to be. You look at how much, you know, games like Elite Beat Agents and Theater Rhythm and Blitz and Rock Band and, you know, even supposedly the revamped Guitar Hero that Activision is working on, as well as possibly revamped DJ Hero.
Don't forget Rocksmith, which will actually teach you how to play the instrument.
You know, Rocksmith that will teach you how to play. There's a couple of other games that are being worked on right now as Learn to Play games. You know, music is a big part of games. background music as well as playing music. And typically, you know, the people who are drawn to video games also are drawn to music entertainment. So it makes sense that it's not a fad, it's here to stay, just like, you know, the resurgence of fighters coming back.
If the implementation is good enough,
it will always be a mainstay.
Yeah. And that's the point. And that's really the point of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's our point. So there you have it. Pandalicious says theater rhythm. If you're down, it's good to mess around.
Yep.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, I know.
But that's pretty much what
you
said.
If you're a fan of several of those three things mentioned, then it would be a title that I would be surprised to not see in your collection.
Yeah, gotta pick it up. So that's really our show for this week. So check out all the stuff that we write.
We were very serious.
We got a little serious. I mean, you know, hey, I had a disease that at times can kill people. So,
and then I had it.
Don't you remember when I had that?
I know.
Walking pneumonia.
It's messed up.
Yeah, no
it makes
doubt.
You think. It
like,
gets you
I
all
could
serious.
Die tomorrow.
Exactly. Makes you all serious and shit.
It's like, I didn't eat that taco. I should have eaten
that's
that
why
taco.
I had to play Bayonetta. And look how better you are now.
I did feel better after playing it, I have to say. Not even going to lie. I had like a little chuckle on the inside. It made my lung feel good.
Yay.
Yeah. So check out all the stuff that we write on our website. You can find our latest and greatest pieces at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. But you can always continue to check out our stuff found at our website, electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short is a bunch of the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page, Land of Ash. We're at 166. We're not making 300. I'm a sad panda for this.
Why do you not say hi us?
Well, we got several, like a big burst of them. We got like six, and then all of a sudden, no more.
Well, here's the thing. Episode 300 is just around the corner, so you know what that means. It's time to give away a year of PlayStation Plus on our Facebook page. And the only way you can enter is being a fan. So,
get on that.
Yep, it'll be live soon. We'll put out a notice everywhere as soon as it is live.
But we are also available on iTunes. That's where you can get us. So you should go there to the app, to the podcast app now, because that's what they're doing these days, those wacky kids over at Apple.
They are wacky.
Hey, why not segregate shit? It just makes things easier.
Segregation.
Oh, man. Wow, that did not come out
that's
the way that
the
that
way,
was meant.
No.
It's not separate.
No. Separate but equal. Okay? All right. Don't talk about it. You know what? I'm just going to jump in here. So you can get our podcast now in the iTunes podcast store. If you haven't grabbed the app yet, it's very simple. Go to the Android marketplace or to the app store on your phone and search for podcasts and get the beautiful little purple application. That's where all podcasts that were in the iTunes Music Store can now be found on your mobile device. Search us out, Electric Sisterhood, and click the beautiful little subscribe button there. You can also search us out in the Microsoft Marketplace to make sure that you can, you know, get our podcast if you're not living La Vida I. And make sure that you get our podcast the moment that we put them out on the interwebs for your enjoyment.
And if you don't want to do that,
you
can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, there are other shows that you may also be interested in.
Absolutely, because we are not the only entity that makes up the Land of Ash, because it would really be quite narcissistic if we had an entire land.
I mean,
that would
be like someone putting pictures of themselves on a beautiful banner for their birthday and putting it on their fan page on Facebook.
Yeah, Pandalicious. Or having a fiefdom where it's just you and your cow. It's not really a fiefdom. It's just, you know, your backyard. But our shows go out brand spanking new on Monday mornings when I'm not deathly ill or Panda's out of town. On Tuesday, you can follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, which is co-hosted by a couple of our favorite dudes, Bluonic and King Baby Duck. They are the testosterone to our estrogen, so if you want a more dude-ish perspective on games and music and anime, definitely want to check them out. They're uniquely Bostonian, which is kind of cool. We dig those guys over there at their website, bostonbassbrigade.com. You can also, on Wednesday, hit up a brand new episode of the Geek Agro podcast, which is held down by our homeboy, Deuces Wild. talking about geek gadgets nerdery of the finest caliber.
Mwah.
Over at geekagro.com. And then for the rest of your week, currently, you can get your nerd needs served by interacting with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, on our Twitters, which is at ESHnews. That gets to all of us. We check that one. Or you can follow us independently. If you want to see everybody that makes up the Land of Esh, then you want to hit up my Twitter page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. That's everyone that's involved with the Land of Esh. The magazine, the various websites, cool people that we love trading ideas and stories and inspire us. They're all there on the list. I guarantee you following the Land of Esh list is not going to be a disappointment for you. So check those guys out and follow as you would their coolish people. All right, so I think that's pretty much everything. You go to espadalimited.com and type in Electric Sisterhood.
30% off a retro gaming geek t-shirt.
30% off a retro gaming geek t-shirt. Definitely check them out. I like the Pong shirt myself. It's probably going to be the one that I rep the most.
I want the Pac-Man shirt.
Pac-Man one is good. Not going to lie. So definitely check out espadalimited.com. Let me see. What else am I missing? What else am I throwing out there? I think I hit it all. I hit the Twitters. I hit the Facebook.
I hit the
Facebook website. Oh, freaking Fridays with Pandalicious. Can't forget that.
No.
Videos of awesome nature. Like, the awesome content of these videos is as much as we're allowed by law to put into a video. Although every once in a while we sneak in an extra 1% when they're not looking. Seriously, guys. Check them out. Pandalicious holding it down. Freaking Fridays. Good shit. YouTube.com/electricsisterhood. All right, so we got the YouTube, we got the Facebook, we got the website, we got the EGM now. I guess it's time for shit that we did.
Shit, we're digging this.
Pandalicious, shit that you're digging.
I'm digging 8-Bit Extravaganza.
I knew you were going to say that.
Of course.
Good shit.
Their name is awesome, and they are awesome dudes.
First of all, 8-Bit right there.
Yeah, duh.
Duh.
That's how I roll. No, it's a great podcasting network. They have some great shows over there. 8-Bit Extravaganza kind of seems, to me, feels like that's the flagship. Like, that's the one that people just fondle each other over and for. Like, they...
I'm not even gonna...
They, like, jump into a massive pool of other people who are listening, and they might accidentally boob graze somebody.
Mm.
Uh-huh. But it's all in good fun.
Right. Yep.
So they are the shit that I'm digging this week. What are you digging this week?
I gotta come back to another one of my mainstays. I know I've said it before, I'm gonna say it again. I fucking love Astro Gaming, dude.
Have they released the A50s yet?
No, A50s aren't due to release until the fall.
Oh, I know they were... Oh.
So, hopefully, they'll be out soon. But they're not due to release until the fall. So, we'll see what happens. But I'm so in love with Astro. Mostly because this week I actually ended up doing some video work. And I needed a pair of headsets to do some audio work, and I completely forgot my over-the-ear...
Your A40s?
My cans. And typically, when I do audio work, I actually use a set of Sony headphones that aren't noise-canceling, so that way I hear all the natural audio. But I completely forgot to bring them with me, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so screwed. And I happen to have my ASRs in my work bag, and I was like, oh my god, this might work. And I was able to actually do all of the audio fixing for this massive project that needed to get done using those things. And it came out sounding perfect. So, seriously, astrogaming.com. If you don't know, you need to know. If you're gaming, if you're playing team play, you need to be rocking the Astros.
If you've listened to our show for more than 2 years, then you know that we are...
You already know.
You know how much we love Astro.
You already know. Well, I'm just telling you. Seriously. I saved my bacon this week, so Astro Gaming. Bacon. Yeah. So as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out until next week, people.
See you guys.